The title is clunky, but the wine talk is smooth. You're listening to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast. And today I am joined by Jennifer Tremblay, founder and CEO of Somm, which is this cool app. And you see, we have to now just address this. I get so nervous when I'm going to say a name that's difficult. I try to race through it. I've destroyed names from France, from Italy, from all over the world, and I can do it right here in Southern Ontario as well. Jennifer, first for the listeners, could you give a decent interpretation of your actually not that hard to say last name?
So my last name is Tkachuk Tremblay. So the first last name is just like the hockey player and family. So Tkachuk or Tkachuk, it's Ukrainian from Alberta. So it's pretty popular out there.
The worst part is I host a sports talk radio show. So I could talk.
You have no excuse.
No, I have one excuse. I am horrible at this. That's basically my only excuse. Mm. First, people need to know your background. You've won so many awards. 2016, the recipient of Canada's Women in Capital Markets Emerging Leaders Award, nominated for a bunch of stuff with a U.S.-based Markets Media Women in Finance Award, like just a ton of stuff. And I guess that's what kind of want to start is, how did someone with a background in finance end up making an app for wine lovers?
Yeah, I'm happy to tell you. So how it originally got started. So as you pointed out, my background is in finance. It's in capital markets. I spent the first several years of my career on Bay Street, you know, working on trading floors. I worked in private equity for a while. My last job, actually, I was on the algorithmic trading team at TD Securities. So like pretty geeky finance stuff. I got my feet wet in the technology world and the startup space in 2016. So TD Securities backed my first venture, which was called FinForum and is now called Pure Invest. And that was basically an organization that played matchmaker between up-and-coming Toronto fintech companies and institutional investors that might want to partner, you know, put money behind those innovative ideas and get involved in that kind of innovative technology space. And that was like fascinating to me, coming from a pretty, you know, big bank world, to get involved in what was happening in the startup world and specifically fintech, since that was my background. And so this has kind of just been a bit of a natural evolution. And in the beginning of 2020, I was still working within the fintech space. I was running Pure Invest, which is my own consultancy that deals with, you know, pre-seed to Series B tech companies that are looking for venture financing and all of that kind of stuff. And Somm started as a passion project. It wasn't something that I necessarily planned. It was just something that kind of happened naturally. I was thinking about restaurants and what it was like to go out and the wine industry. And I've always loved hospitality and fine dining and wine, but you know, I'm not a trained sommelier by any means. And I just thought of the idea, like, let's create a tool that is disarmingly simple and helps people navigate a pretty confusing space in a way that's practical and integrated with where they want to be. And it kind of just grew from there.
What do you find more tricky, algorithmic equity, working with an algorithmic equity trading team, or trying to figure out when the wine list looks like a wizard's Bible?
You know what? It's I don't know what's more tricky. I think finance is probably a little bit more tricky. It's because you're dealing with like code, and that's closer to maybe what I was doing.
I hope that's more tricky.
And that's harder for, and I think the reason why it's trickier is because it's harder for people to relate to. You know, I always had a hard time explaining what I did for a living when I was working in that role. It was a great position and there was, you know, a place for it in the market and in the finance community, but like nobody really knew what I was talking about ever. Whereas like with wine, it's so easy to relate to. It's easy to get excited about. And I think, like, even though wine is, you know, very nuanced and very complex, and there's tons of rules and there's, you know, all sorts of things that you have to learn about wine in order to truly appreciate it and make the right pairings, because it has that element of familiarity and can be talked about, and it's social, and there's all these factors that make it relatable, that adds a really nice layer of simplicity. And that's kind of what we've been focusing on a lot as well.
By the way, I love how you were saying how you have a hard time sometimes explaining to people what you do. All of my friends, so many of them work in finance. I've known them for 30 years. I still have no idea what they do. My job is easy. I blab on the radio. So let's get to it. The Somm app, if someone downloads it, gets it on their smartphone, you know, real quick, how will it make their life easier in terms of finding wine?
Yeah. So the Somm app is really designed to take the guesswork out of wine. And so the moment you download the app, you as the user, you're going to have the choice of whether or not you want to go down the recommendation engine path or the marketplace path. And when we were coming up with the recommendation engine, we decided that it made the most sense to think about this, you know, pairing algorithm, which is basically what it is, in a way that's contextual and practical. And so you as the user are going to go through a process similar to how you think about wine. Where am I? How much do I want to spend? What am I eating? What am I doing? What should I be drinking? And that's like a huge differentiator between us and some of the other, you know, food and beverage tech or wine apps that are already on the market, is we're really practical. We're starting at the point where you don't know what you're about to consume, and you're no longer needing to guess when you're wandering around a store or staring at that menu or, you know, looking through your cupboard at home. And so that's kind of what the recommendation side of the app does. On the other hand, there's Marketplace, which is a really great way for our users to discover a whole new world of wine and access product that they can't get at the LCBO. You know, this is a really interesting moment in time where consumer behavior is shifting, food and beverages embracing technology, regulatory environment is changing, and people are paying attention to all these unique merchants that are out there that maybe they didn't previously know how to access or didn't know was even available for retail. And we're finding that that's particularly true with agencies. A lot of retail customers didn't even know about agencies. And so Marketplace is a really cool way to kind of, you know, help our partners reach a wider audience, but also help our users discover this whole new world of really great wine.
Yeah, it's true. A lot of people don't know about consignment companies. I mean, I've been using them for, you know, 10, 15 years now. So we'll stay with the Marketplace app for a second, then we'll go back. So do you guys partner up, or do you reach out to all the consignment agencies, the restaurants that now all do bottle shops? How does that work?
Yeah, so we do have a partnership strategy. Yan Le Guillou, he's the former GM of Aloe. He's with us. That's a lot of what he does, along with Jordan Mazanti, who's a sommelier in residence with us, who also works with Langdon Hall. So they do a lot of outreach to, you know, hotels, because they have beautiful wine collections as well. Wineries, wine agencies, restaurants, bottle shops, bars, kind of the full ecosystem. We don't reach out to everyone. We're trying to be very thoughtful about who we're talking to. You know, we want to make sure we share the same values around making wine more approachable and accessible, and, you know, want to make sure that we're dealing with partners that also want to tap into perhaps a younger demographic. So your millennial and Gen Z crowds, so you're under 40s. Although we do have like a lot of users in the Gen X and boomer demographics as well. But, you know, we want to be careful about who we're reaching out to, so that we don't have redundant product, so that our users are really able to fully appreciate the inventories of our partners, and so that our partners aren't diluted. And we're making sure that they're also getting, you know, good traction and good click-through rate and you know, a good experience.
I'd love to know, and I'm not sure if you can explain this in an easy way, but how the algorithms went into the Somm app, where, you know, I mean, there's so many variables in terms of, you know, in terms, as you said, where you are, price point, The sort of wines that the person that uses your app, what they enjoy drinking. I don't know if you could sort of go into just how you sort of create those algorithms.
Yeah, sure. So it started actually with our team of sommeliers. And so we have Jan and Jordan, who I previously mentioned, as well as Elise Lambert, one of Canada's master sommeliers, working with us. And it was really a group effort between me and them, and then eventually our developers, creating a series of matrices. And these matrices, they capture all of the factors that go into making the right pairing decision, whether that's the style of wine, the appellation, the variety, like the nuances of a particular varietal, what types of main ingredients in a dish are, the user might be eating, and then beyond that, how it's being prepared, because it's not just the steak, it's how the steak is prepared and what kind of sauce is there. And so we have, basically a series of fancy matrices that have all of these taggings and interconnectivity points kind of matching up how users are responding with how the pairings are being put forward. And then on top of that, we do have a data scientist as well, who's going to be working with us to make sure that the app becomes increasingly personalized and tailored for the user. And so what that means is, you have preferences, we all do. And to the extent we can make suggestions that are more in line with what your palate already likes, the better. We of course want to make sure you're still discovering great new wines, but let's prioritize what we're suggesting on the recommendation engine when you're at that restaurant or shopping in that store, and then also what you might be seeing on Marketplace. And so we're starting to introduce kind of that data science, machine learning aspect into how things are working so that you have a different experience than me.
And it should be said, you've mentioned three of the people that are part of this app. It is an impressive team. When you have someone who was part of Allo, one of the best restaurants, and certainly one of the highest decorated restaurants in Toronto over the last 5-6 years, Langdon Hall, the wine list, the collection there is stunning. And then a master somm. There isn't many of them out there. It's a labor of love and time and sacrifice to get that award. So that's a hell of a group you have working with you.
Yeah, I'm very grateful for everyone. Even on the developer side, we have, people from Shopify and Wealthsimple and kind of Canada's technology darlings that are working with us now. But yeah, like Jan, Jordan, Elise, it's a little powerhouse, and I don't take it for granted. Jan and I got to know each other in 2016 because all of the events that I would host for my first venture were private events at Allo. And so when I came up with the idea in the summertime, like 6 months ago for Somm, he was the first person I called. I was like, look, I know you like wine. We get along. You love taking care of partners. You're a natural hospitality person. You really like that kind of old school relationship model. That's what we need. And he jumped on board, and I was delighted. And then Jordan, I met him at Langdon Hall. My husband and I were celebrating our wedding anniversary there, and he was leading a tasting that guests get to participate in. And I just kept saying to my husband, like, he's so good. He's so anecdotal. He's approachable. He's down to earth, progressive. He's taking all the BS out of wine, like just getting straight to the enjoyment. And that's the kind of person that we need on our team, kind of leading the sommelier side. Jan is also a certified sommelier with the Court of Masters Sommeliers. And then one of our first investors, we did a financing last year. She was close personal friends with Elise. And when I met Elise, Elise is beloved in the wine world. And there's only 5 master sommeliers in all of Canada, 269, I think, in the world. She got it. Like, she understood, that the industry needs to innovate and appeal to younger people. And there's an opportunity for really intuitive technology to come in and be helpful to consumers and the hospitality world alike.
I'll get back to the app in a second, because one thing you said about it was no BS, it was just get to the wine. It feels like that's part of the mantra for your app. But before we're there, I just want to know your own history with wine, your own relationship. Obviously, you know, you're someone who enjoys it. If you're going to Langdon Hall, if you're doing these tastings and things like that, and just do it, starting this app. So what's your relationship, your journey with wine?
Yeah. So it's always been my favorite beverage. You know, I grew up in Alberta. My parents and I would spend, we try to go out to the Okanagan once in a while, like in the summertime, because it's just, you know, relatively close and beautiful. And so I remember like going around to, you know, Mission Hill and Quail's Gate and some of the BC wineries, and they're all beautiful. And, you know, they'd go through the tour, and I would have like sparkling apple juice at the end of the tour, right? And like, I just thought it was, you know, cool to be part of, you know, this winery tour and start to understand the space. And I just kind of always had this whimsical relationship with wine, I guess. And then as I moved through, you know, university, you know, I started to explore wine a little bit, but I never really studied it. But I always appreciated it. You know, I tried to get to Napa a couple times, and when you go to Europe, you know, go explore some wine regions, and just, you know, as a regular person who's not a sommelier or not somebody working in the hospitality industry, like show an interest in the space. And that's kind of where it all started. And as I've gotten a little bit older, like, you know, my own tastes have changed, and that's kind of also what I love about wine. Like, you grow with it. There's tons of varietals, there's tons of exploration to do, there's you know, your own palates and preferences evolve, and it's kind of cool to just continue to appreciate what wine has to offer as you evolve as well. And so this was really a moment where, you know, something started out as a passion, and then it ended up becoming, you know, career, and it's awesome. I'm super excited about it.
What were your tastes then, and what are they now?
Well, like most people, I started with loving white wine and rosé, and as I got older, you know, starting to appreciate more of the fuller bodied reds. I love Spanish wine, and I really enjoy, you know, whether it's like a really full-bodied Amarone, and I love that. I think I'm an Italian at heart, even though I have no Italian blood in me. So that's always a go-to if the opportunity presents itself. I really like light reds as well. Gamays and Ontario Pinot Noirs, I have a soft spot for. I like a lot of different wines, and I love exploring different regions.
So do you have a memory of your moment, if there is any, of you being intimidated by wine, either at a restaurant, at a wine store, something like that?
100%. So if I put my finance hat back on, a lot of the roles I had were in, you know, in sales. So, you know, bringing in new hedge funds, new asset managers, pitching, you know, whether it was TD Bank or Scotia or Ontario Teachers Pension Plan, like helping them bring in net new clients into the firm, you know, managing those relationships, growing them, like pretty high pressure stuff. And you know, with that, like a lot of corporate dinners and taking out groups of people. And I remember, you know, one of the most intimidating moments is it was my first senior role. I was 24. And I was head of broker sales for an organization that recently got acquired by Cboe, which is a commodities exchange. And it was me and a bunch of older guys at the dinner table, and I was paying the bill. They were my clients. And you know, the host comes around and puts the wine menu down, and of course, one of the guys goes to grab it. And that moment was like, no, that's my responsibility. And I now have that moment of judgment where I need to make this decision quickly.
Yeah.
Like I know what I'm doing and impress these corporate clients. And I need to somehow figure this out. And I think a lot of people can probably relate on some level to that story where they're taking out a group of people and all eyes are on them. No, you know, not everyone reaches for that menu, but the people that do, like, there's an ego there. And in my particular situation, like, it was my responsibility. I had to control that dinner, that table, that budget, that bill, and that relationship on behalf of my firm. And it was intimidating. It was very high pressure.
Yeah. What was, okay. Yeah. First off, yeah, the ego, you're paying, and the ego, whoever grabbed the wine list, what a jerk. What did you pick? Do you remember?
Oh, I don't remember. It was like many years ago, but it's a Toronto, like, I'm sure it was probably a big red with a decent price tag on it, if I had to guess.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if it's bringing in a lot of hedge fund types, you're grabbing the cake bread, you're getting if it's a really big one, maybe the Opus one. So someone has your app and they're in your position. They've snatched that wine list from the egotistical people around the table. How does your app help that moment?
Yeah, for sure. So we're, if they're at a partner restaurant, we will have that menu information in the app already. So when they say that they're at that restaurant, which they can also do in advance, they can go through like a 30-second process, if that, of what the table is eating and get a suggestion that the restaurant actually sells. And so that's the situation if we're currently working with a partner. What we're in the process of building, and we're doing this through a technology called natural language processing, is basically a version of that process where we don't actually have to have the partnership in place and the specifics of the wine menu in the app, but we can, through our database, which we have all of the varietal information already tagged because we're working with all these agencies and we're just growing this database, the app will be able to read what the varietal is if you scan over the menu. And so in that same situation, you'd be pointed to a suggestion that's in line to whatever your table is consuming. On the other hand, what you can also use is the general guidance feature in the recommendation engine. So you'll at least be sent in the direction of, like, you know, get a Chianti or explore a Cabernet Sauvignon from California, so that at least you know which page to flip to or which section of the menu to be paying attention to. And so we've designed the app in a way that's like practical no matter what situation you're in. Either you can get down to the specific bottle level, or you can just be sent to the right section of the menu. And so, yeah, it basically alleviate a lot of that guesswork and that high pressure moment and a lot of those nerves. And, you know, I bring up the corporate example because it's easy and it's kind of funny at the same time, but the same situation happens, you know, when you're out with family or when you're out with friends. Like, you don't want to be staring at that menu forever and not talking to your friends or feeling like you don't know what you're doing. Like, you just want to get down to enjoying and, like, let's do that quickly and intuitively and get you something that's going to be fun to share with the people you're there with.
Yeah. Wine is supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be, it represents joy. It represents usually just you with other people. And you're right. You don't want it to be intimidating. Now me, yeah, I love the list and I'll just ignore my friends. My guys, I'm going over this for the next 7-8 minutes, talks amongst yourselves. I'd love to hear more about your research. And you were saying that that a lot of people are guessing. It's the pick and pray method, and it doesn't matter if you are 25 or 55. So what did, leading up to this, the launch of your app, what did your research tell you about just people and their selecting habits?
Yeah, good question. So we actually did we ran a number of surveys across people in Canada, all age groups, over 19. And this is what we learned, and I have it in front of me. So 80% of people purchase their wine by either wandering a store or searching the internet. 20% of people make their selections based on their own expertise. That's a huge number of people that have no idea what they're doing.
Yeah.
91% of people think that purchasing wine is more complicated than all other types of alcohol.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, like, think about craft beers. You pick a craft beer that you like, you know? Cocktails. It's usually a short list with a decent description in regular English. You know, like it's wine is different. Wine is a different beat. 72% don't trust their servers to make good wine selections on their behalf.
Oh.
So, you know, and you can't really, you think about yourself in a practical in-restaurant situation, and that's nothing against servers, but a lot of places don't spend time properly training those people. And so one of the things that we're doing too with the app is building an enterprise version of it so that servers also feel more empowered and they also feel more confident and they can also better engage with their guests. You know, can confidence and sales go hand in hand?
That's, and then really for you, I mean, the goal of this is to get rid of the intimidation, to get rid of the BS, and just get to the wine.
Exactly.
How, with this era of COVID that we're in right now, how much of that has pushed more restaurants to start to embrace technology? Because, you know, especially if you're more old school, the world of wine, it's more meant to be more just something you touch and you feel, and it's not supposed to be about technology. Have you seen an uptick in that?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty undeniable. Like, COVID has absolutely catalyzed the hospitality industry's embrace of technology, right? And you see that with restaurants putting together e-commerce shops, trying to stay afloat, improving their websites, driving better social media campaigns, anything to, you know, stay on the hearts and minds of their guests and try to reach a wider audience, usually through a phone, because everybody has, you know, the phone is their new appendage. Like it doesn't ever leave a person's hand. So, you know, the hospitality industry has really been forced, for better or for worse, to embrace technology. And, you know, we want to make sure we're not taking away from the romanticism of wine, but we're actually helping a better, bigger audience appreciate it more. And that starts with knowledge. And it starts with knowledge in a way that feels subtle. So, you know, helping people intuitively make a better selection, teaching people through little videos and blog posts and, you know, easy descriptions, you know, teaching them about what they're drinking or how to properly, you know, store or open or whatever the case may be for whatever interaction they're having with wine. And so we're trying to help elevate the overall guest experience. And you know, furthermore, on the technology side, you see restaurants embracing QR codes, moving away from paper menus into, you know, menus on the person's phone. Well, that's a terrible guest experience, right? Because now you're just as a guest going to a menu, or so you're going to a website and scrolling infinitely on your phone on a website, or worse yet, taking the QR code and being forced to download a PDF and then scroll on the PDF on your phone. Like, it's pretty bad. And so we've part of our relationship with the partners that we're working with is actually working on building an intuitive digital menu for them so that, you know, when they reopen their doors, they emerge from this shutdown period with something that's, you know, more intuitive, organized, and is laid out in a logical way that can help their guests actually, you know, fully appreciate their offering.
What's your relationship with this app with the LCBO?
Oh, good question. So we have worked with the LCBO's core inventory, which they publicly post. And so we have the core inventory of the LCBO in our app. So if you show up at pretty much any of the big LCBOs, they all carry kind of standard product. And so we wanted to make sure that people could use the app in that LCBO context and not be aimlessly wandering around the store. We didn't upload all of it. The sommeliers took the liberty of uploading parts they liked and agreed was good wine.
By the way, sorry to interrupt. I wish I could have been there when they went over the list and going, yes, yes, no, no, trash, overpaid. Yep, great. Well, like, I wish I could have been there.
Yeah, it was entertaining. It was a combination of, like, is this categorically bad? Some of the producer names and labels were just hilarious as well. So they weeded out a decent amount, but they made sure that they, like, the way in which they decided what was to be kept or to be eliminated Had nothing to do with price point. So there's options, you know, everything from $10 to, you know, what you see in the vintages section. But yeah, to answer your question, you know, we don't really have a relationship with the LCBO, to be frank. We want to make sure the app works when people are there, and we have, you know, I think it's like 1500 bottles that they carry uploaded into the app, so that you as a consumer can still have a good experience that works when you're at the LCBO. But they're not our focus. We really want to draw attention to other parts of the hospitality industry and make sure we're there for them in a way that other tech companies haven't been.
That's great, because the LCBO, they're doing fine. It doesn't matter what's going on in the world. They're going to make a profit. It is about the small restaurants, the consignment companies, the local wineries. It's really all about them. How does the app, if someone who wants to learn more about wine, get out of their comfort zone, they mostly drink Chardonnay and they want to, you know, get out of that. I would imagine this app is good for those people.
100%. Yeah. So when you go through the app experience, like on the recommendation side, you know, you are going to be asked if you want to pair with food or not, and then you're going to be kind of taken on a really quick journey. Unless you explicitly say that you only want Chardonnay, you're not going to be able to filter, and force the app to give you a certain selection. So you're by default going to be exposed to varietals and regions that maybe you didn't think to consider in the past.
And by the way, let it be said right now that if I had to just drink one white, if it had to be Chardonnay from Chablis to Montrachet to the Prince Edward County, I'd be totally fine if I was just with Chardonnay.
I love Chardonnay too.
Yeah, like it'd be totally good. Where would you like to see the app? Like 5 years from now, what? I mean, beyond you, your investors, and everyone hopefully making a boatload of money so you can buy all the aged Amarone you want, just be up, you know, just have all that. What are you hoping for with this app?
Yeah, you know, I want it to cross over from being like just a wine app into more of a lifestyle, if that makes sense. And what I mean by that is we want to be engaging with our users. We want to create unique experiences for them. You know, we want to be able to host events with our partner chefs. We want to be able to come into their, you know, theoretical virtual living rooms with, you know, tastings and educational series, and be just part of people's default thought process when they're thinking of preparing a meal or having a glass of wine. And so that's, you know, that's a bit more of a lifestyle slant to it than simply just being a wine app. And we're working very hard to make that happen as soon as possible with the introduction of premium Cru and Grand Cru subscription offerings for consumers, you know, featuring our partners, wine clubs, all sorts of things like that, starting to do events. We certainly intend to be global within the next 5 years. We're going to be expanding our partnership base within Canada on a city-by-city basis in the next few months. So you'll see us, you know, have partnerships in Vancouver and Montreal and Calgary, Halifax, like really all across the country, and then of course get into the US and elsewhere internationally thereafter. So, you know, 5 years from now, you know, we're global, we have fantastic partnerships, we have a happy retained user base with a lot of engagement, and we're kind of a default thought, you know, when people are preparing food at home or they're shopping or they're going out at that restaurant that they love.
You know what you guys need to be? And by the way, I'm going to do my best not to give you suggestions. My God, you must get so annoyed. You're at a party because it's about wine. Everyone wants to talk about it. You guys need to be the Peloton of wine. You know, like someone to get on. It's like, oh, okay, tonight I feel like Chardonnay. And then you get the video up and a psalm from, you know, one of your partners is leading them through it. I mean, all those Peloton videos where it's someone giving you life advice and telling you to give 10 more push-ups. You know, you guys should be the Peloton of wine, whether it's, you know, wine events to pairing wine with chicken.
Yeah, you know, you joke around, but actually we're launching a YouTube channel for a blog and immersive video series for kind of that reason. So we can have like a library of cool, you know, down to earth, but fun videos for people to be participating in. You know, we're starting to do live sessions on Instagram. We're, like I said before, we are going to be doing some virtual events and giveaways and contests to start getting that immersive kind of lifestyle experience going. So it's, you're not too far off.
Yeah, it makes sense. I've hosted a bunch of wine events, and I find what people like the most is when you make it down to earth. So I explain to people how you can be a wine snob without knowing anything about wine. Just order a glass of Gruner Veltliner and you'll seem like an expert, you know, and just, you know, just have fun with it. So, okay. So yeah. We ended like this. Where can people find the app? How do they get it? How do they get the SOM app?
Yes. So the SOM app is available across Canada. It's on Android and iOS. So just go to your Google Play Store or the App Store on your iPhone and type SOM and click download and get going. That's it. It's simple.
And that's it's pretty easy. It's pretty easy to spell. So again, I'm gonna try to end this better than I started. Jennifer Kachuk-Tremblay, the founder and CEO of SOM. You know what? It's a B minus at best. But I did it so bad at the beginning that anything I did afterwards is going to seem good when it was still sort of mediocre.
Your pronunciation, I'll give you an A+. Yeah. And you know, I appreciate, you know, taking the time to chat today. I'm excited. I'm excited to see people get excited about it. Like you said, wine is a pretty fun place. We obviously love it. And we're really excited for the future. So get out there and download. It's SOM in the App Store and in Google Play.
Absolutely. This podcast is about making wine more fun. It's about making it less intimidating. And since COVID started, there's certainly been more of a focus on helping local businesses. So I think what you're doing, it's a great idea. I think it's fantastic. Thanks so much, Jennifer.
Awesome. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast. Remember, you can find me on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, and wherever quality podcasts are sold.
Thanks for listening to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast. Happy hunting.